Hello, good day, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Magic, the First Pioneers Podcast. This is the podcast all about the Pioneer format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I'm joined here by my co-host and a special guest.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing? This is Ryan coming at you from the Tokyo area of Japan, and we have a returning guest, but it's been a while, so why don't you introduce yourself again?
I'm Ashiok. I am from the Great White North, and I am a Moto Pioneer grinder slash sometimes streamer now.
It's nice to have you back.
It's always nice to be back.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, make sure to shout us out if on our Twitter if you ever are streaming. We're happy to retweet anybody who's streaming Pioneer. And I usually, I'll have anybody on if, the weekend I'll usually have four or five people queued up if they're playing the big events.
Oh yeah, you'll have to see it, you'll have to see it.
If anybody wants to listen to your old episode, that was one we did on
Monogreen.
Yeah, Monogreen, yep. Planeswalkers. I think it's still fun.
Yeah, so that was a nice competitive episode. You know, we were focusing on the real competitive side of Pioneer. We're going a little bit more on the fun side here, in that we're doing something that's not just, you know, straightforward Pioneer. We wanted to talk about Pioneer Cube. So this is a topic that I've really wanted to do for quite a while. I've had the idea of wanting to do a nice Pioneer Cube for some time. And very recently on Moto, we got a chance to do a Pioneer Cube on Moto. People got to draft it. Most people seem to enjoy it. I only got to go through one draft of it, so I didn't get really deep on it. I kind of got blown out, but that was just my habit of opening bad cards. But we want to just jump through the whole idea of, like, what is a Pioneer Cube? What does focusing on Pioneer as a subject for a cube? And kind of get, you know, cubing in general. I don't think Ryan or I had enough expertise in cubing, and that's really why we wanted to bring you along. We would love your expertise on cubing, and specifically on Pioneer Cube. Mm-hmm. So, Ryan, what do you want to take it from there? What else did you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, the first thing I just wanted to say is that we actually did do an episode on cubing back when we were a Frontier podcast. we had our friend C Squared come on, and actually I think that's really good. You know, C Squared talked about how to actually build a cube, you know, like the number of cards you should use and all that stuff. So I will recommend, you know, checking that out if you want. Maybe you get some other ideas that we might have missed this time talking about Pioneer. Yes, the Frontier pool is smaller, but I think maybe we might have forgotten stuff. So I'll link that, you know, in the notes afterwards for anybody that is interested. But as far as today, I definitely wanted to talk about the MTGO cube. I wanted to kind of talk about the list, and so I kind of want to talk about, you know, like what we liked, and I wanted to talk about like what we maybe wish it had and stuff like that. So let's start off, I think, with just overall, what did you think of the cube? So for me and Kevin, you know, we took a look at the whole list. You know, Ashiok, you actually played it. So let's start with you, Ashiok. What was your overall, you know, feeling about, you know, playing the cube afterwards?
It always felt really nice. If you enjoy a lot more of the Jun style of games to where you're just trying to outdo resource battles with your opponent, you're going to love Pioneer Cube. There's not a lot of abusable fast mana in the cube. There's not a lot of ways to cheat in things or cheat on mana. It's a very fair cube. And so if you enjoy nice, clean magic like that, Pioneer Cube is the cube for you.
Okay. Now, how about you, Kevin? What was your overall opinion after checking out
the list?
I think
that's fair. For me, I think it was a little bit too fair. I would have liked, you know, I didn't feel like it was fully iconic on what I would have liked in Pioneer. Mm. And for what I've been thinking of doing my own cube, you know, that's part of what I want to take out of this episode is get some ideas for if I eventually want to build this in paper, what would I do? I feel like I would have wanted to lean more into some of the iconic Pioneer decks rather than just archetypes in the with the card pool that exists. They kind of did the archetypes that make sense rather than doing the archetypes that have existed in Pioneer as a competitive format. So that's kind of more where I would lean, but I can definitely see what they were going with.
Yeah, I mean, I would also say, I mean, I agree with Ashiok here. I like fair games of magic. I like where I have to use my wits, I have to use my skills, and I have to make choices. I don't want to play a game where, okay, you put a card down that I can't do anything against and I lose. This seemed like it had a lot of fun lines of play. I could play this, or I could play this, I could play this. Not like I, you know, windmill slam this, you know, in draft, the draft portion, and then, you know, I just build around it. I feel like it's, you build with and not so much build around.
No, so, I really agree with that. That's actually pretty nice way of putting it.
So, yeah, I think, Kevin, you just brought this up as far as, like, how you would build that. And I think this was one of kind of my later questions I was going to save, you know, for later in the show. But let's start with this question. When you're building a Pioneer Cube, I mean, do you want to emulate the meta, or would you try to build upon the archetypes, or would you just totally do a different way? What is your kind of thinking when you're building a cube? So let's start with you, Kevin.
So again, I don't have the fundamentals really to be the expert on this. And I think that if you're trying to listen to this episode and take away like, hey, I want to try my own cube, read about the fundamentals, know how many lands you have, make sure your colors are balanced, make sure you've got curves in every color. I think those things are going to be more important. You know, for me, I'm kind of picking and choosing the cards I like. I'm probably doing that incorrectly. Overall, you know, it would take some work to refine it into something very workable. But for me, I would go for more of the iconic color combinations. So I'd kind of be looking at, you know, I would love it if we wanted to go through kind of each color combination and talk about the potential archetypes for a Pioneer Cube are. But yeah, I would be like, you know, black-white. When I think of black-white in Pioneer, I'm thinking like, okay, I would love to support the Auras archetype. Okay. So I would think of the existing Pioneer deck and see how I could translate that to being something that you could draft and that those cards wouldn't be useless outside of that archetype.
So maybe, for example, for you, even though you can't really use four of the same type of one card, you would try to, you know, kind of emulate those types of effects. You know, okay, you can only have one fatal push, but maybe you all didn't like Doomblade and, you know, something like that, right? To give you more good removal early on. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, a little bit. And I was just saying, like, rather than just playing like, oh, hey, you know, Sphinx's Revelation is a card that I saw in the cube. And I'm like, you know, that just doesn't see play in Pioneer. Mm. It doesn't feel like a Pioneer card to me. It feels like a card from old Standard, maybe. But I would rather see a blue-white card that sees more play in Pioneer, even if it's less powerful, maybe in that slot.
Okay. How about you, Ashiok? What do you think when you're building the cube? Do you want to emulate it, or do you want to kind of build upon archetypes, or just kind of do your own thing?
So I actually have like a very differing opinion from Kevin here. I don't really want to emulate decks that are already good in the format, because the reason that decks are good in formats is because you can run four of a card. The issue with Cube is you only get one copy, and you need to be able to have it be a standalone and fit in multiple different things. So let's just go with All That Glitters, for example, which is a card that is or Ethereal Armor, one of the great cards in Auras. It only goes in the Auras deck. It doesn't really translate well to other decks. So that card is either going to be the first picked card in the pack, or it's going to be the last picked card in the pack. There is no in between. And if, for example, I'm in the Auras archetype, and I miss on, say, one of my key cards like Ethereal Armor, and it just never showed up in the pack because it's still in the cube, my deck just looks a lot worse. So when I go ahead to build my deck,
true for
So when I go try to build my deck, go for it.
I was going to say that's especially true if you're doing more than a 360 card cube, where you won't see every card in rotation.
You won't sadly see every card. It's really difficult. It's the entire reason that like Stompy's a little bit, I would say, nerfed in this kind of cube, because there's only two Llanowar Elves that are legal in Pioneer. Only two. You have Elvish Mystic and Llanowar Elves. While in like Legacy Cube, for example, you have access to, I think, five exact copies of Llanowar Elves, plus Noble Hierarch, plus whatever. So you just need to, you need to have like a lot of consistency and standalone good cards. And those are the cards that are kind of like the dorkier ones. Like, I think, for example, we already talked about like the Orzhov style, but the Orzhov style here was a lot more of a mid-rangey thing, playing cards like Obsidat Ghost Council, which personally, I love that card. That card is cool. That card's hot. I like that card. A 5/5 flyer that just comes and domes your opponent and then it just beats out.
Is he?
I'm not actually sure if it flies. Yeah. It might not fly. It is not, though. Oh, that's lame. He's a ghost. Why doesn't he fly? Yeah. That's just a
thing. He hovers.
But anyway. It's a really cool iconic card, and I feel the same way about like Sphinx's Revelation. Like when Pioneer just started, I don't know if you guys were around for that, but a lot of the archetypes that existed were people's decks that they enjoyed in Standard in the past. Yeah. Other than like obviously the broken stuff like Saheeli Raikat combo.
Yeah.
But like people were playing Sphinx.
I will say, we are the first Pioneers. We were there from day one.
We were there from day zero.
Day zero. I agree. Day zero was great. People were playing all those dorky cards like Garb and Dark Dwellers and all the cards that they just enjoyed seeing from Standard's past. And that's what I really wanted to like emulate with Pioneers. When I think of Pioneer, what were the first cards I thought about?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, here we are with the cube. We got our favorite boys like Teferi, Yugen. Sadly, no Bolas in this one, but
oh yeah.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that why when we talk about our card choices. I think.
Yeah, don't worry, we're good.
All right, so for me, as far as like when I am building my own Pioneer cube, like I said, I think I'm gonna try to build upon the archetypes. Maybe try not to directly emulate them, but try to explore them a little bit more. We always, you know, people always say like, "Oh, don't play that card. This card is strictly better," you know, in the metagame. Well, I want to kind of see what it would be like if I could build this deck with this card. How would that work? And I think especially when you get into some of like the more mid-rangey strategies in Pioneer, which of course don't see a lot of play because they get beaten out by the consistency of the faster decks. But, you know, being able to play that Dark Dwellers or play something else, I think will, I mean, it could lead to trying out new stuff actually in competitive Pioneer. And that's what I, you know, as a first Pioneer, I want to explore. So that's how I would do it. I'd try to get people to think of different ways and try to make things work, you know, with different cards. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So you guys ready to jump in, start talking about the actual cards?
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
So let's first start off with, you know, with the list. It's 540 cards, and I want to name the creator. This was made by Tom LaPille of Wizards of the Coast, I believe. I posted an article in our Pod Live chat. You can read the article that he wrote about this. It has the full list of cards that we're going to be talking about today, and I think also has a little bit of information about him. I think he's done a couple other things, a couple other cubes as well in the past. I think he worked on Vintage Cube. Yeah, I don't remember the article specifically, but definitely check that out later. So,
side note, we did reach out to him and didn't.
Yeah,
he did not. He went off reply.
He went off public Twitter. I guess I could have maybe talked to Wizards of the Coast directly and asked to talk to him, but maybe some other time. So, anyways, yeah, let's start off. What are your favorite cards in this cube? So, this is a 540 card cube, I believe. So this is like the biggest of the big. 360 is something that you would do with like 8 people, I believe. And then after that, you'd have like, what, 480? Which you mm-hmm. could do with like 10 people. And then 560 is like massive. You could probably do like 16 people with that, I'm guessing.
Yeah. There's also like another common one is 720. 720 is what I have for a secondary mm-hmm. cube, and that would fit 16 pretty well.
Yeah. So what are your favorite cards from this 540 card cube? So who wants to go first?
Can I phrase this in a more fun way? Maybe is you know you open up a pack. It's got 540 cards on it. You spread them out, and yeah, what's your first pick? Not just for power level. You know, you're playing with some friends. You want to force a fun archetype. It could be any card in the 540. What's the card you're going for? What are you forcing? Pick one, pack one.
Who wants to go first? Let's have our guest go first. Ashiok.
I'm always down to go first. A couple of the cards that I think are like really fun for the cube are any of the companions that exist in there. The two right now are Lurrus and Yorion. If you are able to reveal a companion in your cube draft, that is such a good feeling. other cards that stand out, they're just like personal favorites. Like, obviously, what I got my name from, Ashiok Nightmare Weaver, that one's always fun. If I get a pack one, pick one Niv, oh, we're on top of the world that day.
That was my pick, is Niv-Mizzet.
Niv is always just the best one. I also really enjoy Dragonlord Silumgar. I would pack one, pick one Dragonlord Silumgar every time. But it's honestly just whatever cards give you, like, nostalgia. Because I started off in around Dragon's Tarkir era. And any of those cards that I see that I originally got to open as a Timmy, I would always pick.
I mean, I actually went for good value cards. But I'll start with one of my fun cards first. Command the Dreadhorde.
Yeah,
that's a cool 6-mana black spell that lets you bring back as many creature cards as you want from the graveyard, but it deals damage to you. Seems like a really fun card. Good build around. And I think there's a lot of stuff in here that can put stuff in a graveyard, so I think that'd be really fun to play with. All right, what else? What other cards? Let's just kind of go through your list. What other cards would you be excited to draft? So,
It's tough there, and that's where some of I definitely want to talk about the perspective, is that there's some really good draft cards in here, mm-hmm. cards that were amazing in traditional draft, and often that communicates to cube, but not always. So, Pack Rat, existed during the time of Pioneer, hasn't been super influential. It did show up some in like the blue-black inverter decks style decks, but that's a card that you could first pick in one of these sets. Is that going to run away with every draft or not? And do you want to be building where, like, you know, we could have just been pulling the best, you know, the 5.0 rating draft cards from every set that are legal in Pioneer, throw them in one cube together? Would that have been a good idea?
Having every
would love to hear some perspective. Yeah.
having every card that be super powerful is like by its standalone like a pack rat kind of thing. That's always like not the best, because then the games kind of always just like are like, if every card is really good, then it's really difficult to figure out which ones to be picking, because you do need like even when designing Magic sets, you can't make every card in the set be super powerful busted Oko level. You need a little bit of divergence, because how you're going to tell the good cards are good if every card is good? There's nothing that sets them apart. And so there's just no real direction to go. If I'm looking at a pack of 15 and I see, for example, one of the ones that I would say is like super pack one pickable, Sphinx's Revelation. That card is the best catch-up mechanic in this, one of the best catch-up mechanic cards in this cube. You want to make sure that you, if you see one of those cards, then you have some direction to go into. Because you can tell that card is absurdly good, and you can just roll with it, you know? The cards that we were speaking about earlier were cards that just have, like, some sentimental value, or they're really fun. I lost a little bit of my train of thought there, but...
No, yeah, we're winging it. This is a fun episode. Oh, yeah. We don't have to be,
We're good. I always lose my train of thought all the time. That's that ADHD, you know?
Well, let's jump around then. Let's just go through some other cards that we want to talk about, other fun cards. So a non-like Pioneer meta card that I would be kind of excited to first pick would be Kogala, the Titan Ape. So this is actually from Ikoria, and this just seems like a super Timmy card, something that would be fun to slam down.
So fun. I also believe Nezahal is in the cube. Nezahal has the same Timmy feel. Those are both really fun.
That's a good one.
Yeah, so for anybody that doesn't know Kogala, I believe it's... Let me find it here real quick. I think it's like a 7-6.
Here, I've got it. 6 it's mana, 7-6. Yeah, it's a 6 legendary mana, ape.
Legendary,
Fights.
It fights a creature when it enters. When it attacks, it destroys an artifact or enchantment the defending creature player controls, and you can pay 2 and return a human of control to your hand to give him indestructible.
You want
to
play that in a cube. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
You want to draft
it's so
that.
Fun. It's so fun.
Yeah.
You also get to make monkey noises when you attack. Like,
yes.
It's just good. It's good gameplay.
Nice.
Isn't Burning Tree Emissary human? Have we never tried going infinite with this?
Burning Tree Emissary is human, I believe.
So you could play it repeatedly with Kogla?
Why would you want to?
Well, I don't know. You just need some
infinitely
third piece
indestructible,
when it
comes into play. Don't you worry. We figured it out. Now you can never kill it. It has so much indestructibleness. But you would need a card like Alter the Brood to technically go infinite, but...
Impact Tremors? Yeah,
well, to win.
That one too.
Impact Tremors, there we go.
Yeah.
But neither of which exists in the cube, because they're poo-poo standalone cards.
Yeah.
That's fair.
But Burning Tree Emissary is also one of those cards that you can easily pack one, pick one. Any of the elves are super pickable, because I remember one of the drafts I did while I was mid-round in a Pioneer Challenge, is I got pack one, pick one Llanowar elves, and I'm like, I guess we'll roll with it. And then 2 picks later comes Elvish Mystic, and I'm like, okay, cool, I got the best deck.
Ooh.
We're good to go, we're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, dorks are always really pickable in draft.
Oh, yeah, and there's only 2 in the cube, so if you got both of them, you're laughing your way to the bank.
So there's only 2 one-mana dorks. I haven't gone through and seen what 2-mana dorks. I've got to assume there's a handful.
There's a handful. There's Rattleclaw Mystic, which is the morph one.
Rattleclaw Mystic, Druid of the Cowl, Sylvan Caryatid.
Lotus Cobra.
Yeah, so they got some fun cards.
That's a good one.
There's a lot of good ones. A lot of the issue that comes with the cube, with it especially being Pioneer, is mana fixing wise, because you don't have access to the fetch lands, but you do have Triumphs. So you just kind of gotta, if you're playing that Niv deck, you gotta really, really pick good lands, and you gotta pick them early.
Yeah, especially with one like this where there's, you know, 720 cards.
Oh, this one's 540.
540, this one's 540, yeah.
Or 540, yeah. Sorry.
My bad, I put that number in your head.
Yeah,
absolutely. Any other fun cards you guys would first turn pick?
Grimflayer.
I mean, it's hard not to pick something like, that's a fun one. See, that's a fun one. I was gonna say something boring like the... I don't know, one of the... What's the tree that Gain's life. And don't, never mind me. Forget me.
Yeah. Another one I would say is, so it's a lot of cards personally for me that I just always wanted to play, but I never really got a chance to because they either just weren't good or they just didn't fit into an archetype. So like Teferi, Master of Time. Mm-hmm. Oh, ooh. That one's always a good one. You just never gets to
the Great Henge is what I was thinking of. I'm a bad person.
Oh, the Great Henge is always fun. You get to cast a BT off of it. Ooh.
It's so broken.
It's so free value. Honestly, if you could just say any Planeswalker, and I'd likely agree with you. Planeswalkers are just always fun to play with in Cube.
Definitely.
And I want to say one thing real quick about the Planeswalkers. They didn't have a lot in here, I noticed. There was like, I don't know, maybe 10 Planeswalkers total?
Yeah, you can't be having an absurd amount of Planeswalkers in the Cube, because you also just need ways to keep them in check, and the best way to keep a Planeswalker in check is a creature.
Yeah, good creatures. So I think they did that pretty well. They balanced those out really well. Nothing that was like absurdly broken. You know, stuff that could be handled, but also add some maybe level of complexity to the game. Like they got Tamiyo, Collector of Tales. I like that, you know, as an enabler and stuff like that. That's cool.
You have Jace, Wielder of Mysteries as a win con.
They have like four Jaces in there, but they're all kind of like garbage Jaces.
Three. They have three, and one of them is fine, I would say. Yeah. Two of them, I'd say, are fine. I think the Shadows of Innistrad one is poopy.
I mean, I hate all blue cards, so I'm going to say they're all
wow.
garbage.
Wow. I see how it is. I see. I'm half blue, you monster.
So anyways, yes, I was talking about Tamiyo there. To kind of go along with that card, another first pick I would make is Tasigur, the Golden Fang. I really like Tasigur. Ooh, yeah. Hasn't seen enough love in Pioneer. Would be great in a cube deck, I think.
Tasigur is one of those cards that always just gets a lot of value until you just realize that you've used its ability enough to where you have to start worrying about decking yourself. I might have made a mistake, but I love it.
Mistakes were made.
Another one is Chandra, Torch of Defiance. That card always saw decent amount of play, but it never sees a consistent amount now because Chonky Red is dead. So it just kind of get to live that life of the Chonky Red style for a little bit. That one's always fun.
Yeah, man.
Well, here's a fun one I would definitely first pick that hasn't seen any play in Pioneer is Whip of Erebos.
Yeah.
That was a card.
Oh. The old standard with Thoughtseize and whipping back.
You and me, it sounds like, you know, yeah, I think like Dragons of Tarkir or Origin Standard was like my favorite standard format of all time. So we're right there on that. I'm agreeing with you here.
Oh, 100%. It's so fun. Either the finales, Finale of Promise, Finale of Revelation. Oh, the finales are just so fun to cast.
So it's like you can do big stuff in here, but it doesn't feel broken. And I think that's what I like about it.
Oh, yeah. Every strategy here is like relatively fair. It depends on what your version of fair is. If you think that you hate getting milled out with Ashiok upticks or getting every spell you have countered, then it might not be for you. But if you like it for nice, clean, die on turn 5 at the latest or the earliest, this is great.
So are there any combo decks in this cube?
Combo is used very loosely, but I would say yes. There is a Sultai variant where the entire goal is to mill yourself as much as you can and then use either Thassa's Oracle or Jace to kill to win the game. If you technically count Approach the Second Sun as a combo, that deck exists.
Approach of the Second Sun plus second copy of Approach of Second Sun.
you just draw all your cards and play counter spells until you can win there. But there's no Channel Fireball. There's no there's none of that. None of that.
Jeskai Ascendancy.
The Pester Mite. Yeah.
Yeah.
You never have to worry about dying from nowhere. If you die, you will have seen it from 3 miles away.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about that? You know, especially with your experience with cubes, do you like it when cubes have some of that unpredictability? Or especially, you know, for drafting, if you're like, hey, you know, I saw Pester Mite go by, maybe I should look for that Kiki Jiki.
Personally, I am not the biggest combo fan in the world, and I understand people who enjoy it. A lot of my buddies, whenever we're playing my old cube, for example, was Peasant Cube, and the only combo there was a Ghostly Flicker combo that was infinitely hard to assemble. I found those kind of cubes fun because you got to sit there and actually like play the game for a while. But I can understand the appeal of like wanting to randomly kill your opponent from nowhere or have like some janky combo. Like that's really fun, and I'll admit that. But that's just not how I enjoy playing Magic. So when building my personal cubes, I just avoid it.
Yeah, I think that in this cube, it looks like it's challenging enough to assemble the combo deck that, you know, it'd be both rewarding for the person who builds it as well as the people who play against it because they don't have that consistency. I think there'd still be a lot of options, you know, for you to win the game, you know, if you're playing against them.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple more cards if you guys don't mind.
Go for it.
I'm really excited to. I mean, I would pick one, pack one, Massacre Worm. I've always wanted to play with this. You know, I build like some kind of mono black deck. I know they have Gray Merchant in here, so maybe it'd be some kind of mono black thing you could top end. But again, you could also just play like a control deck with this and just have tons of kill spells and, you know, protect it or bring it back with Whip of Erebos. Oh man, there's just so many things you could do with it.
Oh yeah, it's a good one. Put Pack Ride in that deck too, you're good to go.
there you go.
Yeah, you just play all the good removal spells.
Yeah. Anything else? You guys want to do like one or two more each?
I already said everything I got on my list, so now Kevin's up for a second.
Yeah, I could keep going.
Go for it.
Yeah, what do you got, Kevin?
I was saying I can move on to another topic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go for it. I'm down.
Okay.
We can go with the flow.
Okay. All right. I wanted to give a shout out to Warden of the First Tree, though. I would take that even though it's probably bad.
Oh, it's so bad. It's infinitely bad, but it's so fun.
Well, it might be better. You know, its biggest reason why it doesn't see play is because of Fatal Push. Yeah. And there's only one Fatal Push in the entire queue.
Oh, actually, here. I'll give you guys a spicier one. The Immortal Sun. The Immortal Sun has never seen play in Pioneer. Thank the heavens. But
I have it in play in my Lyra deck, or not Lyra, Magda deck.
Yeah.
I've seen it in like elves, I want to say. You know, they don't run any planeswalkers and they can just drop it like turn three sometimes. But yeah, yes. It doesn't see play.
That card is insanely funny too, because you could just draft away from planeswalkers and then just ruin everyone's day at the table. That's when you start using the mechanic called hate drafting. And hate drafting is where if there's a card that completely messes up your strategy, you take it so no one else gets to play with it.
There we go.
That this is a scenario of where you want to do that. Another card I really enjoy.
So pick one Chandra, pick two Immortal Sun.
Yeah, so no one else takes it. another good one in here is Sky Sovereign Console Flagship.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I love boats. Boats are great. Yeah. It was a meme in my Twitch chat for a while of just the boat. But yeah, that card is so fun to play with.
All right, so I guess now you guys said you want to move on. And I know when I approached Ashiok, you had said that, I was already building it. You know, I'm like, wow, really? Okay, well. So our next topic, let's talk about how would you rebuild this? You know, I mean, I know it'd be kind of hard maybe to decide what to drop out of this 540 card cube, but I think there's a lot of cards that I would have chosen instead.
Yeah. So. With the current scenario of COVID, the entire way I figure out of whether or not I want to remove a card from my cube is either A, it's always the last to be picked, B, it's not fun. If a card is not fun, it's not my cube. I don't care.
Yeah.
It needs to, everybody at the table needs to have said, wow, that was a fun game. And then even if they lost, it needs to at least have some fun.
Yeah.
So usually what I do is I add cards in first. Like currently I've added 11 cards to it, and then eventually I'll cut 11 cards. I don't know which ones yet, because obviously we haven't had time to play test, but it'll be fun to try to jam these games and figure out if I made right calls for cards that to be added, because it's obviously untested, so we'll see. Hopefully I pick some fun ones.
So you said you only had a few, right? Like about 10 or so?
I had 11. I added 11.
Okay, so Kevin, if you don't mind, how about we just listen to Ashiok talk about, their 11 cards, and whatever you don't talk about, Kevin and I can kind of pick up the rest of the cards. Does that sound good, Kevin?
Yeah, absolutely.
So talk about what you would add and why you would add it, and I'll mark it off my list if it's on.
When adding to an existing cube, something you want to do is you don't want to try to pick standalone cards that are good in a very specific archetype that doesn't already exist. You got to make sure that there's a little bit of melding, or they're just genuinely good cards. I personally always enjoyed when I was drafting Lurrus or Yorion, so I added a third companion in Jangatha. I always call it Jangatha. It's just a little joke because I misspelled it when I was writing an article. But that card is always really fun. It's always a good, cool build around. It gives you a challenge when drafting, so I think companions are really good for drafting metas. And then the cards that I picked is I wanted one mono-colored card of each except for white. I've ended up picking like other different things for white. But I added a Mystical Dispute, which is one that I got in a couple arguments about whether or not I should add. I added this one because I think it's really interesting to have specific narrow hate cards sometimes. This one is a lot more... it's already an all-around good card with it just being like even at worst like a 3-mana mana leak, but you can also just bring it in. I would compare this card to cards like Relic of Progenitus and the Vintage Cube, where it's really good against Reanimator, but it's also just a cycle if you need it to be. This one is very good because there's a lot of blue drafters in my friend group, and so I want to either reward them or punish them. So I think it would just be a lot of fun for me and my buddies to play with. One of my favorite cards of Pioneer is Genesis Ultimatum, so I added it. It's a little bit harder to get off, but it's a great payoff for either the Fires deck or a Teemer Ramp deck, being able to put Planeswalkers into play with it, or Omnath, or whatever the janky pile may be. Claudio made me fall in love with Essica, the actual creature itself, where it can also just be the Prismatic Bridge, I think it's what's called. That card is really fun. I think that one is it's a mana dork, and then it's also just put things into play. So it helps enable a lot of more dorkier archetypes, and it's also just a fun grab with Bring to Light to try to make that Bring to Light deck a little bit better. This cube, it blew my mind when I was originally looking at it. It had zero cards that were Bolas related, and I needed to add one Bolas card, and I settled on Dragon God. And my argument was that you could play it with Oath of Nyssa, because that would be hilarious. I added Ashiok Nightmare Muse, purely just because I love the art on that card, and I said, it's probably fine.
That's the 5-mana one?
Yes, yeah, the 5-mana one.
Yeah, because they have the 3-mana one here, which I was happy to see.
Oh yeah, that card is a lot better in Vintage Cube. It's not as great in this cube, because there's a lot of creatures to keep it in check. It's a very mid-rangey one. Yeah. But in Vintage Cube,
it does like to find creatures, though, and it's also just brutal in draft.
Oh, it's so brutal. It's so good. One of the cards that I was very surprised that I didn't see them bring in was Chevelle from Ikoria. Card, adding bounty counters to your opponent's creatures is always just fun. It's just a fun archetype, or a fun thing to be doing. And then the three other cards I added were just to support existing archetypes. There's another really specific reason that I added them, other than them just being like good cards in their specific archetypes. Baleful Mastery, which is the removal spell. Eidolon of the Great Revel, because that wasn't in the cube already, which was weird. And then Despark, just is another catch-all card for the Orzhov Control deck. And that's all. Those are all 11 cards.
Amazingly enough, I don't think you talked about any cards that were on my list. I had considered a couple of them, though.
Well, I'm excited to hear about yours and see if you're out to lunch or you're on the right track.
Crazy. So, Kevin, you want to go back and forth? Because I have a lot. You have a lot. And then we might actually have like some crossover.
Why don't you run through yours? I almost want to go through our next topic, which is going to be the archetypes first, because I feel like if I'm going to build mine, I'm going to change a fair bit, even like down to the archetype level. Maybe I'm wrong entirely and I'm just a bad builder, but I want to hear what you've got entirely, okay, if you can.
All right, so Emerge Eldrazi. What do you guys think? Yes or no?
I don't know if there's any Eldrazi in this.
There's
right
none. There's like Ulamog. There's
zero Eldrazi. Well, there's Emrakul and Ulamog is like some.
Like I want. Things. I want the with the one Elder that tap stuff. I forgot its name. I forgot
Elder
the name.
Elder Deepfiend.
There's like this Decimator of the Provinces.
Oh, that blue one too.
The big alligator one that puts like something in the play.
That Hunters is good. There's the Mind Hunter.
Yeah, extended Mindbender. Yeah.
So I think they'd be good. I think they're powerful, but they're not broken, and they also kind of like weaken you a little bit because you have to sacrifice something if you don't want to cast it, you know, for 10 mana. Yeah, I think I like it. I would add that in there. Another kind of combination card that I would love to see in here is like Gisela and Bruna. You know, it's like you're talking about combo. It's not really a combo deck, you know, but it's, you know, getting to 7 mana is still going to be a struggle, and of course you have to make it so that it doesn't die before it melds as well. And Ashiok had said, you need to be able to meld some of these things together. She's like, whoa, he's going to talk about meld. No, you didn't. So
no melding.
So yeah. So Gisela Bruna, I think, would be fun. So you can make Brisella, you know, that 9/10, whatever, first strike, can't cast 3. I think that would just be a hilarious way to win the game. What else did I want in there? I think there's one more that was kind of like all the stuff together. Oh, the manlands. I didn't really see any manlands in here. I think they would be a really good way to fix the mana, even though you only get them for a couple. Actually, you get more now, don't we?
Other than the colorless ones, I don't think we have more manlands.
There is the only manlands that exist in the cube currently. I think Shambling Vent does, and then it's all of the colorless ones.
Hmm. Yeah.
So that's your Crawling Barrens, your Mobilized District.
Is Mutavault in here?
And Mutavault. Mutavault's also in there.
Yes.
Yeah. Faceless Haven isn't, which is good.
That'd be tough. Yeah.
So those were like my first three. I mean, I have a lot more I could go through, but Kevin, I want to give you a chance to talk a little bit, because otherwise I'll just keep talking for like 20 minutes.
All right. Well, let me take, you know, maybe this is it's not a topic change, but I want to hear your thoughts on this because if I'm looking at some cards that I would love to try in the Pioneer, these are cards that were iconic Pioneer cards, are iconic Pioneer cards, aren't in this cube. Things like Walking Ballista, things like Nexus of Fate, you know, maybe Inverter of Truth.
Let's see.
The Band Cube.
What's the, I want to know the thoughts on whether or not you think that Pioneer Band card should be considered or included in a Pioneer iconic cube.
I mean, of course, anybody who builds a cube can build however they want. That's the thing of beauty about it. So if you wanted to do a Band Pioneer cube, you could do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's probably where I would go. Like, for me, you know, Inverter is super iconic. I would love to have Inverter Thassa's Oracle as a kind of two-card look for it in the drafting. You know, that kind of game is fun to me. Maybe same thing with Felidar and Saheeli. Maybe those are too specific in that they're A, very powerful, and B, kind of useless without the other.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't put something like Okoin, probably, but I think like Smuggler's Copter, maybe. Mm. You know, Teferi, Underworld Breach, maybe. Some of those I think would find a home, and then Walking Bliss is definitely the one that, you know, great draft card, playable in a ton of different archetypes, and it's not going to break anything alone in a Pioneer cube, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'd be okay with that, I think.
I agree for a lot of it. I think what you need is those cards need to be good standalone cards, so I would say cards like Felidar Guardian, 100%, Walking Bliss is a great example. Yeah, those are great. Mm-hmm. Like Oko not being in there. Yeah, great. But I think cards like, when you're trying to assemble two-card combos, like Hobbyist brought up earlier about Bruna plus Gisela, it's really difficult to get two very specific cards for the archetype. There's not a lot of there's no redundancy with both of those, other than like Inverter's the non-redundant piece. So like two-card infinite combos are very difficult to assemble in cube. So like when it happens, it's going to be a thing of beauty. But it's just really difficult to do. So I usually try to stay away from it. But if you completely want to, I understand. Because a lot of the reason that you don't want to be doing it is because you don't want to sit there like trying to wave. You're like, okay, this archetype's really good if I get this one card. And then 3 packs pass and you just don't see it. Because either somebody else had the same idea. Because a pack one, pick one Inverter is usually fine. And maybe you pack one, pick one Thassa's Oracle like 3 seats down. And now you're just like, well, what do I do?
Yeah. Okay.
Those are just my thoughts.
That was the first place that I definitely was interested in going. So I'll jump back to you, Ryan, because I took some time.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about some of the cards you want to play.
Yeah, go for it.
Go ahead. I mean, if you... I can talk about...
No, keep going through your list. Going through your list. I'm not going to stop you. All right. I've got a lot that I could talk
about. I'll let both of you kind of decide if you think this would be good in cube or not. Aetherwick's Marvel. I didn't see that in there. I thought that would be a good thing. And I don't think you actually need to have, like, too much energy. I mean... Like, yeah, you could have the one mana one, I forgot what it's called, the Nissa one that searches and gives you energy for a basic land.
Oh, it's a mana fixer. Oh, Tomb of Aether.
Yeah, so like you could have that in there. You could have the what's the rogue?
Refiner.
Yeah, Rogue Refiner would be fine, I think, is either just a card that gives you some benefit. You know, you get to draw a card when it comes into play, or you get the energy, so it'd kind of be good both ways. So I think Aetherworks Marvel could definitely be playable. Might be slower though, but still fun to play.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it's a you would have to add an entire archetype for it, but if you're designing a cube from scratch, it's probably like fine.
So yeah. So basically what we're talking about here is just the other possibilities.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I was trying to say, like, you know, I'm more on the broad archetypes more than specific cards. Another big one for me is kind of the tribal decks. Like, I don't feel like tribes were very much supported in this cube. And there are some pretty iconic ones. You know, I don't see any of the humans pay off. I don't see spirits pay off. Maybe other ones would feel forced. Like, if there were some good merfolk, it would be weird to put a lord in there. But some of those for me would be kind of interesting, especially like spirits, humans. Those feel like the ones that have the most lords. You know, I really just like those kind of build arounds, and I didn't see quite that much of this. Again, I don't know how easy or hard it is to support them. Would love to see.
Well, the tribal payoffs are only really good in tribal payoffs decks. Like, for example, we'll just go with like the best one of Thalia's Lieutenant. If you need to make sure that you're drafting A, enough humans, and B, enough good like aggro cards and removal, and you're trying to balance a lot of like mana fixing as well, but if you aren't drafting humans, or nobody at the table is drafting humans, and because there just wasn't a lot of it, Thalia's Lieutenant might just sit there. And or if you build or drafting all the humans and everything's coming together, and again you just don't get the good payoffs, your deck just kind of is a dorky aggro deck, and you just kind of hope you get there. A lot of the issues,
and there's not enough redundancy in those lords.
Yeah, there's not a lot of redundancy in payoffs. It's like the same reason that like the Gruul aggro deck is still there. But it does suffer unless you don't have like a lot of the consistency of the elves.
So yeah, here's the thing that I was Go ahead. Go for it.
Well, I was just thinking of a couple more archetypes that I feel like you could have supported as a build around. Would be like in Soul Artifact, there's really no support for, and Hardened Scales is another one. Like both of those have kind of three cards that can do the, you know, there's kind of three in Soul cards, there's kind of three Hardened Scales cards. Yeah. I feel like you could get the support.
I mean, I guess, you know, when you're building, I mean, like I said, we can build it any way you want. I think but you have to kind of consider what resources are these decks going to need? Are they going to be sharing a lot of the same cards? Because, like, if you're going to build a tribal cube, you know, with, like, spirits and cats and all this other stuff, that's great. Somebody will pick one something, and then they'll try to build that thing. But then you get people taking from each other, and then everyone's going after, like, the cards, like, I'm trying to think, something that gives benefits to only that type of card.
Leota's example, like, Mastery.
Yeah, like Icon of Ancestry or something like that, whatever. You know, it's only for that chosen type. And then after somebody gets that, it's like you can't play any of the other archetypes. I don't think tribal would be good, but at the same time, I think there's some cards that kind of lend themselves well to other archetypes, like the whole explorer mechanic on the, what do you call it? On Merfolk, I think would be good for mid-range decks or, you know, whatever.
Graveyard decks.
You know, graveyard decks, any of that stuff. So it kind of has, like, multiple purposes. Even if you can't build that merfolk deck, you still get the ability. And it has counters as well, which, like you said, would work good with stuff like maybe Hardened Scales. So something that lends itself well to other strategies and not just that tribal strategy. That's how I would build it.
See, this is an important episode. I think that what this is teaching people is that these cubes are way better than you guys think, because if someone like me built one of these cubes, it would look terrible because you'd play it and you'd be, you know, you'd be the guy sitting on Spellqueller waiting for those spirit lords that never come or something dumb like that.
You hate drafts.
If you guys are...
So listen to people like Dreams and Tom here. Yeah.
If you guys are looking for... So whenever WotC comes out with these cubes, I always like looking at them because they always design them really well, because they are the ones that have to think of limited sets for like their draft archetypes for sets.
Yeah.
An example of something that kind of can probably help out here is when Dominaria was coming out, they were thinking about putting Nightmare, if you know what that card is. It's the 7 mana XX flyer horse thing that makes that's power and toughness equals the number of swamps. Is it 5 mana? Sure. I have no idea how much it is. But anyway. They were thinking about making that an uncommon in Dominaria.
Wow.
And they realized how much of a mistake that would be, because when testing, they saw literally everybody try to, because that card was bombs are rare, trying to make it an uncommon. it was a card that everyone would say was the best pack one, pick one, and it was a very narrow archetype because you had to play mono black to make that card be really good. Mm-hmm. And so all it would have done was destroy the archetype. So you got to kind of figure out, like, are too many people going to jump in this? That's the issue with having very narrow cards with very specific good payoffs. Is if multiple people try to jump in, you're done. Nobody gets a good deck.
Mm.
That kind of reminds me of how, all of Keldheim felt. You know, sometimes people would just like, you'd go with some draft sometimes and nobody would be picking any snow cards and you would just have this insane deck. And other times it would be like, oh, I guess I'm drafting with somebody that's picking the snow lands, pick one, pack one. Mm-hmm. And you'll end up with none of them. And then you'll play against people that have like just this broken deck. So that one for me felt very, depending on who you were drafting with, you'd either get a really powerful or really weak deck.
Yeah.
So I want to go back.
Oh, it was 6 mana, by the way. I just want to call that out.
Oh, it's 6 mana? Cool. All right, we were halfway there.
So, I wanted to go back real quick to, your talk on the tribal cards. And I did have a couple tribal cards in my list. I didn't see Spellqueller in this cube. I think that would still be a good card, mm-hmm. regardless if you're playing it in a tribal deck or not.
I agree.
Also, what's another one that I had in here?
You got this.
Olivia Mobilized for War, just as another fun card. Something you can discard, but like it's a vampire. You can play it in a vampire deck, but at the same time, you could also use it to, if you're playing more of the madness type deck, you put that in there as well. And I think madness is something that's kind of been forgotten in Pioneer, so I'd want to bring that back and explore that a little bit in my cube. Anything else? I'm trying to think.
I'm trying to throw the pot out with the kettle again, but the other one I was looking at is, you had mentioned that you want to put the ultimatum in and as well as Bolas, mm-hmm. and I don't believe this cube right now has any three colored cards.
Yeah.
How hard would it be to support, one or two cards in each of the three color pairs?
The only issue is consistent.
And would they get played?
The only issue is consistent mana. Again, the issue with this cube is you don't have like fetches and then duels. You just have duels, and so you have to make sure you prioritize mana. It is entirely possible to try to cast these cards. It's not the easiest, but it does. You can. There's a lot of mana fixing with like Chromantic Lantern, mm-hmm. and even Fires of Invention. Mm-hmm. I'll count as mana fixing because it kind of does that. To a lesser extent.
Yeah.
But you can play these cards. Like, if you wanted to try to play Siege Rhino in this cube, you could. You really could. With Varos back a Siege Rhino, make someone's day, you could do that.
I would love, and once the rest of the Triomes are printed, I would love to make, like, a three-color, Wedge or Triome, deck, and just, like, all 10. Was it 10? I don't know. It's 10, right?
10 what?
10 color pairs?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Once we have, because we have the uncommon cycle for basically like Sultai and all them already, and we also have the Triumphs for them. Mm-hmm. And once we get those other ones, I think it'd be great to just, build. You have these three color pairs, but then you also have all, your stuff from Ravnica, your Burrows or your Azorius, and you mix and match all that stuff together. I think that would be a lot of fun. So that's another fun way to build a Pioneer cube in the future.
Okay, and can I also cast Thought-Not Seer?
The issue with Thought-Not Seer is you'd either have to put Wastes as one of the basic cards you can pick, but like if you're realistically trying to play other colors, which you likely will have to due to the lack of colorless support, you would have to probably put in multiple copies of the Pain Lands, mm-hmm. which just doesn't. If you have too many duels, you're kind of diluting the other cards. It's just a trap. But it's really fun, I will admit. Casting a Thought-Not, I have been known to cast Thought-Not Seers. It's really fun. But
so would it help some if I, for the one I'm looking at, if I narrowed myself down to 360 cards so that the Triomes, the Pain Lands, could be a higher percentage of the total ASFAM?
You could. If you are looking to build your, let's just say, Tribal Matters thing, you can do a Tribal Cube. Tribal Cube I've seen before. It is really fun. It was modern, but it was still a Tribal Cube. The thing I would suggest is going 360 cards and trying to have 10 different archetypes that have some overlap. Like, for example, with Kaldheim, we got a lot more changelings. and changelings can fit into any of those archetype things. You can play cards like Door of Destinies, which I think is in core 14. And even if you needed to try to expand into not Pioneer to be able to play some of the cards. Yeah, Vanquisher's Banner exists. You could. Like, you could have Slivers as well as the five-color one. You could play cards like Unclaimed Territory as support. But you, if I were you, if you want to go do those things, you would probably want to limit the amount of cards you're playing so that you can consistently see more of your payoffs.
Okay.
So I had a couple more cards that I thought were kind of missing from this list that I would have added in, if you don't mind me going over those real quick.
Go for it.
Yeah, just don't stop. Yeah. Just keep going.
Rally the Ancestors, because that'd be a cool archetype to build. Night Vale Spectre. Used to see play in the Devotion decks. That'd be a really cool include. Again, it's one of those cards that's good for both that archetype or just good by itself because you can steal cards. I think... what are the other ones? That's all jank. Sorry, that's all jank. Yasharn in the Implacable. Again, it's a 4/4, nice body. Has a good effect, static effect, but also, you know, gets you cards from your library. It's missing. That would be really cool, I thought. Thalia, Heretic Cathar. Again, if you wanted to build humans, you could do that. But again, it's just good by itself. They tap in all their non-basics and their creatures. I like that. Maybe I got like one or two more. I was going to say another archetype that I wouldn't mind playing around with a little bit more in Pioneer is Toolbox. And I know, you know, Kevin kind of likes toolbox things. So, like, I maybe would have, like, Yasan, the Wanderer from, I think, his M14. You know, you put a counter on him, and then you can search for a card to put that into play. Or In Search of Greatness, which is from Kaldheim, where you can sacrifice something. Maybe Eldritch. And I think Eldritch Evolution might be in here, though.
Yeah, Eldritch Evolution is not already in the pre-existing cube.
Yeah, so maybe I would add, like, something like that in there as well. I think that might be fun.
Or Court of Calling, Finale of Promise.
Yeah, so
Neoform, yeah.
So like all that stuff I think would be really cool to have in there. And then of course I'd love to have just all of the spells that do more than one thing, or the creatures that have multiple abilities or that can target things like they had Collective Defiance and Collective Brutality, but let's just throw Collective Effort in there as well. The white one that destroys an enchantment and gives counters and stuff, or what's another fun card?
Silvergar's Command.
Growing Rites of Itlamok, you know, searches for a card and then flips and then you can make big mana. I mean, I think all these cards, you know, I just want to explore the format. I could go on and on, but I know you guys don't want to listen to me continue to talk about jank cards, so I'll just leave it at that. You get my gist, though, right?
Yeah, that's the thing about building your cube, is you get that genuine excitement about all these cards you could add. And so, like, that's so much fun about building a cube. But the most important thing is to having a good set of friends to play it with. That's all that matters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't have any of that, so that part's tough.
Yeah, you can always just dream. You can go make friends at your LGS and then say, hey, you got a cube, and I promise you, you'll make friends.
Yeah, and I think, and I was going to say this earlier when you were talking, Ashiok, but you said you have like a lot of friends that like playing blue. So, again, when you're building your cube, you want to build it for your friends. You want to build it for the people that you're always hanging out with. You want to play stuff that they, well, of course, that you like, of course, that's the most important thing, but also stuff that they would like. If you have a lot of friends, you know, that like doing stupid combo-y things, build a combo deck or a combo cube or something like that. You
combo
know, if you
cube have does a lot exist. Of,
yeah, if you have aggro friends, build an aggro cube or something like that. So, and I think that kind of, yeah, and I think that kind of leads us into the next topic I was going to talk about, is what are some different ways to build a cube. So I already talked about a couple, you know, like a combo cube or like a, we said tribal cube or something like that. Can you think of any other, can you get some suggestions to our listeners as to, you know, what other possibilities there are out there in Pioneer?
In Pioneer specifically, I've seen Khons of Tarkir cube.
Mm-hmm.
Which would just included the consets or like themes like Pharaoh's Cube. You can now include the other ones. I know this one's not just gonna be in Pioneer, but Ravnica Cube, a lot of it already is in Pioneer.
Yeah,
that's so fun, the Ravnica Cube, because you always just get to draft your favorite cards from the guilds. A lot of those ones are fun. I've seen color specific or mechanic specific cubes, like Delirium. Right,
you could do like a Gatewatch cube.
Yeah, Gatewatch cube.
Nice.
Yeah, I've seen theme cubes like the Gatewatch cube. I haven't played it, but I did see it. There's a graveyard cube.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
Those are the good ones. Those are the good ones. Motto Blue Cube exists. If the listeners know about Dingless, he's a Niv player. He grinds a lot. Good guy. He has a Motto Blue Cube. It's not specific to Pioneer for that one, but that one's always fun.
You have any ideas, Kevin? Any other things?
The only one I'm thinking of that I might try is, you know, I think it was a recent Moto one, is somebody had put together a, you know, it was like the most recent, I think it was all the core sets.
Uh-huh.
They did like the best draft cards out of the recent core sets. Mm-hmm. I feel like you'd do something similar. Yeah, I feel like you'd do something similar with Pioneer, where, you know, it's not just the bombs, but it's kind of the good draft cards at all the different levels. So things like, you know, I think Topin Freeblade was one of those cards, you know, Magic Origins, like it's like 2/2 Vigilance if it comes to 3/3 Vigilance. Something like that, like if you've got all cards at kind of that power level, even if they're not bombs or iconic, I feel like that could be an interesting, you know, well, everything's in kind of the same power level mm-hmm. that Pioneer is.
Yeah, so whatever you enjoy, whatever you like, whatever you want to explore, you can do it. You know, like you said, you had Theros and you had the Ravnica cubes you could do. You could also do Zendikar now. Coming up, we have Innistrad releasing at the end of this year. You could probably do an Innistrad cube. And there's just so many different ways to build a cube. The possibilities are endless. And again, this is just another way for you to use your cards mm-hmm. and explore the formats. And we're all about that.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
If you're looking for a lot more narrow cubes, I've seen artist-based cubes, like mm-hmm. Rob Alexander Ooh. Cube, I've seen. There is the... beard cube or item cube, like I've seen there's a chair cube I've seen, a ladies night cube, every card has a woman on it.
Nice.
like there are so many, any idea you have, there is probably a cube that already exists about it.
And for my last question on here, and I think we kind of already talked about this a little bit, you know, this is a 540 card cube. But like we said, you can also build 360 or 480, depending on how many cards you have or who you're building it for. How would each of these look different? And I know this is kind of more like theoretical. This might be a little bit harder to answer. But like, how would you guys, you know, build it differently? Or how would it look differently? Going from like a 540 to like a 360. What kind of stuff would you cut?
Cutting's tough. I feel like it's easier to build up from scratch, but go ahead, Asha.
What I usually say is, if your cube has a smaller amount of cards, that means you probably have a lot more synergistic cards, because mm-hmm. when you start to expand, you need to have cards be standalone good. So for example, if you wanted to change the Golgari archetype in this cube to Explore, because Explore was one of the more popular mechanics when mm-hmm. this all started, when Pioneer started. It's a lot more easier to have that as an archetype, because a lot of the Explore cards are already, like Daylight Ranger is already just good on its own. And then if you get Wildgrowth Rocker, you're laughing your way to the bank, right?
Mm.
But when you start to expand to more cards in the cube, you need to have them be standalone better. Like all of these Planeswalkers that get added, cards like Brimaz. Brimaz is an amazing cube card because it's just so mm-hmm. good on its own. But whenever it just comes to like synergies, it has no synergies other than like with cats, and cats just aren't like a big thing other than like the tribal cube that is apparently so loved in this Discord. But yeah, you just want to make sure that you are having you have enough redundancy standalone cards based on how many cards you have in your cube.
Okay, so for 360, go for the synergy, but as you get bigger, add in those standalones. I think that's good advice. Kevin, you want to add anything?
I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, that kind of goes along with kind of what I was seeing, where I was looking at this cube, I'm like, man, why is something like Sphinx's Revelation in there that doesn't feel like an iconic card? It doesn't feel like a synergy card. It's just a standalone good card. And for a 540 card cube, maybe that makes perfect sense. Whereas for a 360 card cube, I might be looking for things that have more overlap synergy.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Maybe. We'll see. I'm going to be trying to build this. You know, we are reaching about an hour on our show. That's usually where we try and wrap things up. We didn't talk about the question I most wanted to hear about, which is kind of going through the different color combinations and saying, what are some archetypes we could have done for a Pioneer Cube in those colors. So maybe I'm going to throw that question out to our followers on Twitter and on Discord. What would you guys suggest for our 10 different color combinations? What are some good archetypes that we could be playing there? So reach out to us, tweet us at MTG Pioneer is the best place to reach us. Also a good place to follow us for any kind of Pioneer content. Ryan?
I made Ashiok do this, so I'm going to ask real quick, what lands will you use in your cube?
I personally love old bordered basics, and so if I had to try to figure it out, I would find basics that are in core sets that have an OG printing and then put them in. Like, Origins is a good one for that. But if I couldn't cheat and do that answer, it would probably just be Hour of Devastation basics.
Okay, like the full art?
Ryan. Oh, the full art of, like, Amonkhet being destroyed. Yeah.
How about you, Kevin?
Ryan, you were ruining my beautiful transition.
Sorry.
It's okay.
No, that's fine. I'm garbage. I'd probably find something that looks nice, just something that I can get enough copies of. I guarantee you, when I'm first putting this together, I'm going to end up with whatever mixed draft basics I've got around until I've got a nice collection of them. But that's one of those things that, you know, not first on my list as far as when I'm building a cube is what basics I'm going to be playing.
I think it's going to become important. I think it's really important later on, though. For me, if I'm doing full art, I think I want to do the Pokemon Energy Theros Beyond Death basics. And if I have to do like the regular type of basics, I like the Return to Ravnica block stuff.
Oh, yeah. Those are good ones.
Sorry. Okay, Kevin, I'll do it. I'll continue. All right. So, yeah, my name is Ryan, and you guys can find me on Twitter at Yoshwenky, Yoschwenky. And Ashiok, how about you? Do you want to promote anything, talk about anything, or share your contact info?
I would love to. I'm Dreams of Ashiok on Twitter, and on Twitch, I'm Ashiok_Nightmare_Weaver. I stream there sometimes. It's been a little bit less consistent ever recently, but I would like to shout out to the Cabal, as always. Those are the homies that all make the content. We make tons of content in our Discord if you are interested. I released a NIF sideboard guide around a month ago. It's still pretty good, pretty relevant. And yeah, you don't have to worry about paying for any sort of content there. If you appreciate anything in anything that I do, all I ask is that you donate to charity. That's all I got.
All right.
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead and follow them on Twitch and on Twitter. Thank you so much for joining us. This was a lot of fun.
Always a pleasure.
And I think that we would have looked like real amateurs with just the two of us on our own. We'd have been talking about some real janky cards, and it would have made a terrible cube. But I've got some ideas now. I'm definitely going to be looking at Pioneer cubing for a while, and hopefully I can find 8 people who want to sit in a room with me for a few hours to play some cube.
I promise you, it's not that hard.
All right, but one more time, thank you so much for joining us. If you've got any last shout-outs, otherwise, we are the First Pioneers Podcast. We look forward to being your go-to source for Pioneer information online. Signing off.